If you enjoy podcasts like this, you should check out our other shows on Health Podcast Network. For example, Better with Dr. Erica, hosted by Dr. Erica, provides support and guidance in navigating stress-related challenges to transform your relationship to self-care. Each episode arms you with the tools needed to be better, do better, and live better. There was an incredible episode that you should check out called Touch and Connections as Tools for Healing and Better Mental Health. In this episode, her guest breaks down ways to use physical touch as a form of healing for trauma and grief. Check out Better with Dr. Erica on your favorite podcast platform or visit healthpodcastnetwork.com.
Welcome to Iowa Health. I'm Jeremy Quinby. This is episode 98 of the podcast. If you're a new listener, I want to welcome you. Iowa Health is your place for trusted health guidance and support. Whether you're looking to improve your health or just seeking ways to stay well, we're here for you. This growing community is on a mission to improve our state of being and experience together on the planet. And I want to take a quick sec here to thank all of those of you who have been long supporters of the podcast. It's been a labor of love, and I hope that comes through in the work I'm doing here. If you're thinking about becoming more involved or would like to be a health amplifier, you can support this community over at patreon.com/highwaytohealth, or you can scroll down the show notes here and find the link. And for the price of a cup of coffee once a month, you can help continue to build this community and provide resource for anyone looking to improve their health and sense of well-being, which is much needed right now as we all recover from this past year and a half pandemic. And I'm going to go through some of that today with my son, Phoenix. He's back on the show. It's been about a year since he was on here speaking with Timothy Klein about finding purpose, and about 4.5 years since we first recorded together when he was just 13 years old.
How much nutritional content is in a school lunch?
That's like saying how much protein is in a cookie. Not a lot.
So it's pretty obvious, actually, that even from the eighth grader's perspective, that school lunch is pretty much crap.
Yes, last year some kid bounced a hot dog and it hit the ceiling.
Bounced from where?
The ground.
And it bounced all the way to the ceiling? It
bounced all the way to the ceiling.
That's got to be good. If you put that inside your body, it's got to do really good stuff for it.
I know. It must bounce around all over your stomach.
I wonder if it ever comes back out or gets used for anything.
You know, I bet you it comes back out and starts bouncing again.
This will likely be the last time I record with him before he goes off to college. And we wanted to take some time to kind of go back through this past year. And he wanted to share some thoughts and feelings and likely things that his peers are also having to process. This conversation you're about to hear is more formal than our real conversations, but it's a good example of how I think Phoenix and I relate to one another. One of the most challenging parts of parenting is the ability to comprehend the speed at which our kids are developing and then parent appropriately. And while this pandemic period has challenged a lot of our relationships, I feel like it's been an amazing opportunity for growth as well. We're fortunate that Phoenix is so open to discussing his feelings with us. And I think that as a family, we'll look back on this time period that we've gotten to spend together as a blessing, something I'm already starting to feel a distance from as the pace of life picks up again and we see less of each other on a daily basis. Our intention for recording this one was to explore how our kids are adapting to change as our world recalibrates. While we as parents worry about how this time period has affected our kids, I believe that from talking to my children and the young people who I treat in my practice, that they're quite adept in these transitions and that we just need to stay in a dialogue that encourages their input. I think there's a lot to glean from this one. Please enjoy my conversation with my son, Phoenix. So high school happened.
Yep, that's done in the past.
When we release this, should we put up some old audio from our first podcast?
Oh yeah, totally. I'm gonna sound like a completely different person.
It's the best.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
And it's crazy how fast like that that little amount of time makes.
No, totally. Totally.
Of course, it's different. Like 5 years in your life is a very different thing than 5 years in my life.
Oh, yeah. 5 years in my life is like a third of it.
Maybe it was four. Maybe it was four since we did the last one. But that, so that would, so you would have been 13 when we did it, not the last one, but the first one that we did.
Wow. Yep. That sounds about right.
I think that was that eighth grade, seventh grade?
Yeah.
Eighth grade.
About that time. You're just getting started with it too.
Yep. Yep. That's pretty crazy. Well, it's funny because you remember when we got to the spring this year and I was like, that winter actually seemed like it went pretty fast. And you were like, are you kidding me?
No, absolutely not.
So what was the pandemic year like for you?
I don't want to call it a mess, but it was pretty much a mess.
What parts?
I just think how my school handled COVID was not the best. I think
even from fall of last year through this spring, or spring clearly was a mess.
Last spring was an absolute mess. I had maybe like a couple classes a week and I didn't do anything. I didn't even have a job at the time. So I was just home like all day, every day.
Yeah.
I had nothing to do.
So do you feel stunted at all by the schooling experience?
I think everyone kind of got stunted.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, I don't know anyone who left 11th grade feeling like they completed it.
Right.
You know?
Right. But that was your last year. So everybody who, you know, whatever grade you were in, in the spring of 2020 was probably a bit of a loss. But what about this last year?
This last year, it was a little better. I still don't think we got the full experience because, again, for most of the year, I had classes two times a week.
Right.
I didn't have class 5 days a week, and Wednesdays we pretty much had off. Like, we didn't have anything going on Wednesdays.
What do you think it's missed by not being in the classroom?
Well, I guess I missed having the opportunities to, like, hang out with people that I did at a high school. You know, it was my last year. So.
Right, right. But what about from an educational standpoint?
From an educational standpoint, I think really, I think it just kind of lacked because we didn't have enough time.
Yeah.
I think there's a curriculum that you got to teach in a year, but doing it 2 days in a week is practically impossible.
Right.
Even if our classes are 2 hours long, it's just not doable.
What about relationships with the teachers? Do you think that's was an important thing?
I think some students,
like support-wise, or
support-wise, I mean, people didn't really turn to the teachers for support. But I think our relationships with the teachers were pretty much the same.
Okay.
Nothing really happened where one teacher that was liked became hated, and vice versa. People that teachers didn't like stayed not liked, and people that teachers liked, you know, people still liked.
Do you think it was different, like for middle schoolers or grade schoolers? Do you think the teachers mean more in their lives at that point? Or
absolutely,
yeah.
Especially elementary school, you're with the same teacher all day, pretty
right,
much.
Right.
So I think it's different than high school. I think middle school and high school are pretty similar because middle school you're still moving around with teachers. You might be a little younger, but you know, you still got pretty much the same experience as high school.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought too. So you did have a job this year though. You got to, at least you got out of the house. And you know, grocery stores were a happening place with all the new safeguard measures and stuff. Were you glad you had a job for a while?
Yeah, for a while I was glad I had a job. I think it was the one way you guys let me get out of the house at the time.
Yeah.
Didn't have the vaccine yet, so it was my one escape. And I enjoyed my time there, you know?
Yeah.
The coworkers were great. I had good managers, and the people there were pretty likable. I had no issues, and I enjoyed it.
Right. Until you didn't.
Until I didn't. And it was a slow transition. People left. New people came in. Yeah. I didn't like the new people that came in.
What about the managers?
No one liked the managers that came in.
Yeah, yeah. It's a lesson, though. I mean, that's what happens in workplaces. I mean, that's like, you can have a good job or you like, you know, sometimes it's like the work's decent. You like the people, you like maybe even who your boss is, and then something can like start to shift. It changes the whole dynamic.
Unfortunately, at such a low level job, people leave to get better positions. This is a grocery store. The manager at a grocery store who's a good manager can definitely get a better job somewhere else.
Right.
So I don't blame them for leaving, but unfortunately what happens is people that don't aren't really liked get put into these positions that, you know, maybe they don't just, they're not ready for it, they're not prepared, and then maybe they even don't deserve it. But right. I think it just causes this like idea of the beginning, it's really good, but then it kind of falls apart because the good people leave because they're too good for a grocery store.
Right. And this is just, you think this is just service jobs, or do you think this happens once you get into like other kinds of work, administrative work, different office jobs?
I think it can happen everywhere, but I think it's just, I think it just happens so much faster at grocery stores, at these like minimum wage jobs, because
restaurants maybe.
Yeah, totally. It's because, that's just because, you know, they're like, I don't want to say bottom of the barrel, but they're like the lowest level you can go for a job. So any chance that someone can get to get a better paying job at a different place besides a grocery store, I'm sure someone would hop on it right away.
Right, right. Or more hours.
Yeah, I mean, I would do that. If I got offered a position that, you know, seemed better from the outside, I would take it regardless, because a grocery store is, you know, pretty low level, if you ask me.
Yeah. So back to the schooling experience. So the social aspect of high school just didn't quite like meet what you had kind of expected, right? Like you kind of were looking for more from the experience of high school.
I think 11th and 12th grade is really when things picked up. And right when things picked up, COVID happened.
What's picking up look like?
Well, you know, people go out and do more things. You know, parents are a little more relaxed with their restrictions.
Right.
People can do more. No, I know.
They have driver's licenses.
Yeah, exactly. Parties happened in 9th and 10th grade. But I couldn't go to them.
Right. And you're young for your class, too, which is a little challenging. But things started opening up.
Yep.
You were able to go to prom.
Yep, that was great.
Yeah? You liked it?
Yeah, I mean, the prom itself was not, it was okay.
Yeah.
It was okay.
Even though it was at the Minneapolis Institute of Art, which is like one of the coolest places
crazy.
You could go.
No, it's crazy, but it was just like, it was very basic. They had like a little plaza in the middle, and it was just like a DJ, like a college student DJ.
Yeah.
Who's just playing some what feels like random songs.
Was it like top 40 hits?
It seemed like top 40 hits from like the past decade. So he'd throw in some like maybe a more current song, and then he'd throw it back to like a 2012 song.
Gotcha.
And it just was like, there was like some lights, basic, like almost like Christmas lights draped around the, it was very basic. People had a good time, but after like—
Did you dance?
A little bit, but— Again, after an hour, everyone kind of
just
felt
like the little shoulder shimmy and the
There was like mosh
actually got out on the floor.
Some people were like trying to mosh
right?
it. Yeah, totally.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That was fun because what would happen is like the guys would try to mosh pit and they like push everyone else around.
Yeah.
So like, and it would come out of nowhere too. It's like, oh, okay, we're gonna go mosh pit now. And they're like, oh, okay. So then they go and like everyone who's in the way just gets like bumped out of the way.
What songs do you mosh to now?
I'm trying to think. It was just like good songs that we enjoyed.
Yeah.
I think if there was like a bad song and we didn't like it, you can't mosh to that.
Right.
It's just no way. Also, not everyone did it, right?
Yeah.
It was only the guys, at least
in
my
prom.
Yeah,
that's always been the case, because when I was younger, it was actually like the punk scene that sort of was, and then during the grunge era, like that still was like, if a song was like really sort of like energetic or hard in some ways, then all the guys would like, you know, do that. And
yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. So it's the same kind of deal.
Mm-hmm. But after a while, like you kind of just, it kind of gets boring. There wasn't really a lot there. They had some drinks, some like sodas and water, and that was it. And then we just left.
So you were there for like how long?
Hour and a half. I got my picture taken with some professional photographer.
Yep. Yep. Which looks good.
Okay. Yeah. I'll take it. It's about maybe like one of the three good photos I have.
Yep.
And then, and then I was on my way out.
So, and it was, wasn't it like 98 degrees that day or something?
It was really hot. And going in there, it was outside, right? Because it was in that middle pavilion area.
Yeah.
It was hot, humid. I had my suit and tie on and everything. But I think when you like dance and stuff like that and you're focused on other things,
you kind of
forget about how hot it is.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. When I was done, I was exhausted.
Oh, I know.
But as you know, if you have a good time, you kind of forget about the bad things.
So then you had the party.
Oh, right. Yeah.
How much do you want to go into about the partying?
Would rather not go too much into it.
Okay.
Had a good time.
Okay, so let me ask you this, because I've had some, so I've talked to like friends and some clients and stuff who also have kids, and they were curious to know about like what's happening in high school right now. You know, this was also now like over a month ago. So it's a lot of, in this last month, a lot of COVID restrictions have, like, we can now go into grocery stores here in Minneapolis. I know, because I was just in New York, that there are still some more restrictions there, but it's starting to kind of open up a lot more. So at the time, you know, this was basically the first time you guys had like been able to hang out together in person. Most everybody was vaccinated too as teenagers.
Yep.
But it also means like you had an entire year of not having any sort of chance to like get in trouble or, you know, stuff like that.
Don't get me wrong. People tried.
I'm sure.
People still did things.
Yeah, I know.
I just didn't do as much because I worked a lot.
Yeah.
Tough parent restrictions.
Oh, we are tough.
Tough.
Okay, so on that note, one of the things that I hear from people is they're surprised that you share like whatever's going on.
You know, I try my best to be honest about things.
Right.
And if people are really dying to know what the high school experience is like, I'll come clean, because I don't say names. I don't say who did what. I just talk about stuff in general. Yeah. So I really got no problems with it.
And it's not like we don't know what goes on in high school for the most, because we've been through it.
Yeah. And I tell you everything.
And that's what I'm saying. It's like, and it's better that way, I think, in a lot of, I mean, that's the thing is, do you think it's too much information, or you think it's a healthy way to have a relationship with your parents?
You know, I think in some ways it can be too much. Don't get me wrong. Right. I think our relationship is good.
Right.
But I think in some parent-child dynamics, it might be too much.
Right. Because you've told me that some of your friends have a lot of trouble with, you know, what's going on at home with parents, right?
Well, I think the problem is just coming clean and telling them what's going on.
Right.
I mean, to be honest with you, some parents have tough rules.
Yeah.
And I think these rules can really...
And we're not as tough, right?
I mean, compared to those...
That's all I'm trying to get.
Compared to those parents, absolutely not. But with those tough rules and perhaps even a religious aspect to some of these parents...
Right, right.
It can be really hard to come clean to your parents and tell them everything that you've done, because...
Yeah.
Because there can be some, I mean, you're in fear of some serious repercussions.
Right. But I think also just for us to know sort of what's going on helps. You know, I mean, sometimes just guiding, like if you're going to, there are laws for these things. So we have to be a little careful even as parents. Like if we say you can have, you know, kids over and drink at our house, we could get in trouble. So we don't say that, but we also know what's going to happen. So we try to give good guidance. Like, you know, I tried to say, you know, I was telling you beforehand, like, you don't have very much experience drinking. So a couple of pro tips. Drink water.
Yep.
Eat food.
Uh-huh. Yep. And neither of those happened.
But it's, you know, that's part of the learning curve. And that's why I think it's good. Then, you know, then as time goes on, I mean, even as adults, we make these mistakes all the time. So it's like good to like have someone to like be there sort of reminding you too sometimes.
Mm-hmm. But if the parents have like tough rules in place, they won't have that option. Some people turn to their friends as that option to be the one who guides them through that.
Right.
Which can be all right sometimes. Some people at my age really know how to do things, and that's all right. But sometimes it might not be the best thing to do.
Right. Or do you think if there's a lot of restriction, when someone gets a little slack to go out and do something, don't you think they sort of overdo it a little bit just because it's like there are few opportunities to do something?
Yeah. No. When there's a chance, and if you're in a tight situation where you don't really get to do a lot of things, I feel like if people have the chance, they're going to take it and like grab it and run with it.
Yeah.
They're not going to, because they don't know when they're going to have another chance like this. So they might as well do it now and try to just live in the moment.
Yeah. So with the high school this year, with like your, you know, there were some things that you had to kind of like force yourself to kind of stay on track with because it was kind of slow. I mean, it just didn't seem like you had that much work. But then all of a sudden you'd get like a big paper, some test that you had to like study for or something, was it hard to like motivate yourself to get back on track with that stuff?
The senior slide is a real thing.
It's a real thing, right?
Absolutely. I think I handled it all right. Some people did better than me. Some people did worse.
Yeah.
I had okay grades, but I think trying to, especially after
a year, you had almost a 4.0. You can say you had good grades. It's okay.
All right. Well, compared to the end of my senior year, compared to the rest of my grades, they were okay.
Yeah.
But I think trying to pick yourself up after having what felt like pretty much 6-7 months of break, because again, that spring of 2020, we barely did any schoolwork.
Yeah.
So even trying to pick yourself up in November 2020, just trying to pick yourself up and do some schoolwork was hard.
Yeah.
It wasn't easy for me, and I'm sure a lot of other people had the same issue.
Yeah. So are you proud of what you accomplished in high school? I mean, it seems like you kind of had your mindset on like a certain level of grades, activities. Obviously, soccer got sort of, you know, wasn't all that we had hoped it to be.
Yeah.
But you had Model UN. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you had enough going on there? I mean, you were able to get a scholarship for college. You know, I mean, I think that's a pretty good testament to like some effort that you made.
That's true, but I think it was all right. I kind of came into that when it became, as I went through high school, it became more of an expectation than a goal for me.
Uh-huh.
I expected myself to do what I did. And even though I did it, it's great that I got into college and it's great that I got a scholarship, but it was an expectation for me. It wasn't really like a high-reaching goal.
Who placed the expectation? Yeah, was it something you had for yourself, or do you feel like it came from us?
It was me. I mean, maybe mom, but it was me.
Yeah. Okay.
I think when it comes to changing goals to expectations, it's a mixture of both the kid and the parent.
Right.
If the kid believes that they can do it, on top of the fact that the parent also thinks it, then it becomes an expectation.
And what do you think about we had a little experience with tutoring. It wasn't a lot, but do you think that extra outside person was a good support person? Well, let's give a shout out to Dr. Watts.
Dr. Watts.
He was amazing, actually.
Saved my SAT score,
100%. Yeah.
Got me into the U.
Yeah.
Got me the scholarship.
Yeah.
But I think even having just like an outside person is great. Because don't get me wrong, parents are good. But if your parents set all of your academic expectations, I think it could be kind of hard to like see the reality of things. My mom could have walked in and been like, I expect a 4.0 from you. And I could have done, and there's not, I can't challenge my mom.
Right.
But I think having someone, you know, kind of like a tutor who knows what you're good and what you're bad at could maybe see like, okay, you know, maybe a 4.0 is impossible. But I could definitely see a 3.8 or a 3.9. You know, you're really good at math and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Just having that outside person could be really useful.
Yeah. And you also got to watch mom went back to school to get her MBA. And I think she also employed the exact same things that we did with you, because there were certain subjects where she knew, like, calculus, not her thing. You know, we've seen mom's math skills.
She is the opposite of me, I swear.
I know.
I swear.
But that's what she knows. She's, and the other part of it is, as parents, like we aren't educators. We don't know how to motivate or how to, you know, listen to what might be a challenge and turn it into something. We don't have a way of sort of a process for taking someone through developing and that kind of stuff too. And that's been my feeling, is like you gotta go to the professional when there's a challenge. Get the right support.
Yeah, I think a lot of high school became really self-motivated for myself. I think if I didn't have that self-motivation, my grades would have been bad.
Yeah.
Not to say that you guys didn't motivate me, but regardless of how hard you could have pushed me to get good grades, I think part of it is self-motivation.
Right. Yeah. That's kind of my feeling too. So how are you feeling about this like transition from high school? Like, considering this last year, are you feeling like it's going to be a serious step up to go to college now, or are you feeling like you know, pretty confident in your ability to study and make whatever happen needs to happen.
I know that I can learn things fast, but I think but because of what happened this last year and how, you know, the block schedule and how I only had classes two mm-hmm. times a week, I didn't really feel like I got the full like learning experience in my senior year. So I think that on top of the fact that I'm moving to a whole new place is going to be challenging, I think.
Yeah.
I think to anyone it can be challenging.
Yeah.
I think going in there thinking that you're 100% confident in your abilities might be a little crazy.
Right. And it's smart to go in with like a little bit of that trepidation, like, all right, I'm going to really re-engage and get focused. Although, you know, the interesting thing about your block schedule is that it's not that much different than college in some ways, just because you basically have these classes and, you know, short bursts, and then you have to kind of, you know, do the work most of the day on your own. So
yeah,
it might have been, you know, good in some ways too.
Yeah, I think I mean, the block schedule is a little different from my college schedule. My college schedule, it's like 10 to 2 most days.
Yeah.
So I'll take that. There's not a lot in class, but I know based off of what people have told me that there's a lot out of class.
Right.
So I think that shift is going to be a little different because I'm kind of used to just doing my schoolwork in class. And even if I had some homework, I know it usually didn't take that long.
Yeah. So going back to like, I was just thinking about this last week at some point. We just got past this period of time from about a year ago when you and Tim Klein were on the podcast together talking about purpose. Do you feel like you got any more insight in this past year about like, because you did get into the school business at the U of M. So
yep.
that's like a direction. You don't have to stay there, but it's not as easy to get into early on. And
it's not easy to transfer into either.
Transfer into either, right. So do you feel like you've explored anything in this past year since you've been doing more with like stock market stuff or researching more stuff? Or
I think my job at lunch taught me a lot.
Oh, yeah.
My job at the grocery store. I think it just showed that I wasn't the kind of person who wanted to just do the same thing over and over.
Yeah, that's a good thing to learn.
I still felt like I knew that before lunch, but having the job kind of exemplified that.
Yeah.
Just really put an emphasis on, you know, I want a job that changes things up.
Yeah.
Not doing the same thing on repeat.
Yeah.
Other than that, though, everything's still kind of up in the air.
Yeah.
It's great for people who have already chosen their major and who already know what they want to do. That's great. But I'm sure there are plenty of people like me who just have no clue yet. And even though my first semester at the U is going to be pretty business heavy, I still want to have the chance to try different things and intrigue me.
Yeah.
Because, I still have no clue what I'm going to do. And from what people have told me, that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's, I mean, that's one of the things, like the first couple of years of college, I feel like you have this opportunity to like check out some stuff. And some of it can be sort of tied to the core stuff that you have to do anyway. But I ended up, I remember when I think the second semester of my freshman year, I made a mistake and took this like upper level course where I was mostly with juniors and seniors. And it kind of turned out to, even though like I struggled and I don't think I got the best grade, I still learned a ton. And I think part of it was just like the people I was around who were kind of influencing me, you know, sort of talking about stuff.
Yeah. Another thing that I learned was I should have taken more AP tests.
Why is that?
Because those AP tests really open up your opportunity to do things.
Hmm.
Some people in my orientation had a bunch of AP tests that they took because their schools are built around AP, right? All their classes were AP classes. I only took four over my 4 years, but I only took 3 AP tests.
Okay.
So those 3 AP tests were used for history credit because it was all history classes.
Gotcha.
And now, even though you don't need to take the AP class to take the test, I should have taken more tests because I'm not exactly sure. My school was IB.
Yeah.
International Baccalaureate.
Yeah. And what is AP for anyone who doesn't know? I think it's Advanced Placement or something like that.
Oh, yeah. No, that's right. Yep. I couldn't remember. Everyone just calls it AP.
I know, you get used to it.
I almost said Associate Press.
So were any of those AP courses or tests, does that apply towards anything that you're doing?
College credit.
College credit, okay.
Yep.
That's
so
what I thought.
Getting a 3, usually, if you get a 3, you get a college credit.
Okay.
So getting that 3, getting that 4 on that AP test, which I was able to do on all of my 3 history tests.
Okay.
Gets you college credit. But I didn't take a lot of them.
Yeah.
Like, I have to take calculus this year, but some people took the calculus BC test and they got a 3 and they didn't have to take it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it was just like.
And you probably could have done that with your math background.
Totally. Yeah. Totally.
Okay. That's good for anyone who's listening who's in high school. Like, that could be one of those things, like, be mindful of the AP.
I don't know exactly what the IB, like, effect is on. In college.
Similar, right? But except for it, probably even more so.
But it's clear that the U is knows the AP system because almost every high school does AP.
Right.
It's just Southwest is an IB school. There are not many in the state of Minnesota.
Yeah.
So I think the U is more used to AP because more students take AP tests.
So we're gonna miss you. You're going to miss us too, I think, but
maybe
is there anything that you're nervous about, like being on your own or having to live with a bunch of your peers?
I think like figuring out how to make ends meet at the beginning is going to be kind of interesting.
Financially or school wise or
just in general.
Yeah.
I think financially, it's going to be different because you can't really fall on your parents that much. School-wise, it's definitely going to be different.
Yeah.
But I think just the general transition of leaving your parents' house. Now, again, I won't be that far away from you guys.
Right.
But other people will be in Florida. Some are going to, like, Boston, you know. Someone's going to Germany for college.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, people are going very far and very wide.
Yeah.
And I think the transition from high school to college is something that you really only get once in your life.
Yeah.
Because it's leaving your parents' house to go to a new school, maybe halfway across the country.
Yeah. But for you, it'll be a little easier probably transition because this year you're just going to be, you know, half hour away by car, like hour away by bus probably.
Even less than that.
Maybe less, yeah. So if you're like, I got to get out of here tonight. I can't be around these people and I need a break or whatever. You can just bail.
Going home. Yeah, not everyone can do that, though.
No, I know. But it is sort of nice, actually, freshman year. I think I hit a point. I think the first semester was like, maybe first half of the first semester was very exciting. There's a lot going on.
Yep.
And then about the second half of the first semester, I remember just being like, I want to go home this weekend. I just need to like chill out and take a little break.
Yep.
So that makes it easy. And I was only an hour away. So that was, it was similar in that respect, mm-hmm. But just far enough.
Just far enough. Luckily, I mean, actually it'll be funny because I'm not too far away from mom's work. So, I mean, if she ever, for some reason.
You could pop down for lunch.
Oh, that'd be weird. I draw the line there.
What's
Listen,
wrong with
I
that?
I got a food court that I'm paying for, a food pass. I'm gonna use that food pass because I paid for it.
Yeah.
So we're gonna use that.
You might be a little tired of that food though. At some point, you might be like, oh, I'm gonna let mom take me out.
You know what? You're probably right.
Yeah.
But hopefully, there's a lot of variety there.
Yeah. Well, it's an exciting time.
Indeed, it is.
I had one other thought back in our conversation from when you were 13, when we were talking about health. One of the things that you talked about was coffee. You said you're never going to drink coffee, and you still don't drink coffee.
To this day, I don't drink coffee.
Are you one of the only people of your friend group that doesn't drink coffee?
Yeah, there are still some people who don't, but I feel like most do now.
Really?
But I'm still not in it. Coffee's just I don't like the taste.
Yep.
That's all right. Maybe someday I will, but that someday is.
You know what? You might be better off.
Maybe. I got enough energy as is.
Yes. That's good.
But all I have to say is that someday of me drinking coffee is not today.
Maybe when you get to grad school.
Maybe then in 4 years.
Well, it's exciting. I'm excited for everything that you're about to go through.
Finally can leave the house.
Yeah. Fine. What do you mean finally?
Finally. Get out of here.
But it was a tough year to be like just here all the time. You managed to have some like social, you know, relationships, talk to some people. You still talk to a friend in New York. Mm-hmm. But with
shout out to that friend in New York.
Yes. Can we say her name?
She knows who she is.
Yeah, you know who you are. But there were also like some times where you were like meeting new people, trying to make some new relationship happen. But it's sort of, isn't that kind of difficult to do through, you know, just doing FaceTime and stuff?
Again, I think because it's my senior year of high school, I already knew everyone. Right. So I didn't really have to do that.
Right.
But I'm just happy that I don't have to go through that in college. Because I know there's a big fear in college.
Don't you think it would have been way harder to be a freshman going through this?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because I think some people fear, oh, how am I going to make friends? You know, how am I going to make friends in college? A lot of people fear that. Some don't, some do. But I think having this like idea, having Zoom and doing it over video chat makes it a lot harder to really connect with your classmates.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just kind of the ability to just hang out and what sort of happens in that space while you're just hanging out and things that you're both sort of, you know, in the space with, like,
yeah,
become all part of your conversation and stuff too. Well, will you check back in here at some point and tell us how the college experience is going for you?
I'll try to.
Okay. Oh, we should talk about one other thing.
Oh.
Before we go.
Okay.
You're getting some attention for your voice.
Oh, yes.
And
that's right.
Do you think that's something that you'd like to do something with?
Why not? I mean, if I would get paid for it, absolutely.
No, you kind of like to be, you know, on mic and you know, just ad-libbing things, though?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I'm fine with it. I've always been okay with kind of having the spotlight on me.
And you've done some acting, you did some stand-up comedy.
A long time ago, but yeah.
Do you think you'd ever do anything like that again? Like a stage?
On a stage? I'm not sure, you know.
Yeah.
I think I kind of had to take a break because the people and the experience of doing stuff on stage sometimes, which just kind of wasn't the fit for me.
Right. But in college, it's a little more student-led. It might be like some cool stuff.
That might sound interesting.
Yeah.
Again, I think college is an opportunity to kind of just look into what you're interested in.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of clubs, a lot of things to do.
Yeah.
So I think just hopping in and trying some things.
Down on the West Bank, there's a bunch of places you can go.
Yeah. Even if you're there for like only a couple weeks and you don't like it, at least you tried.
Yeah.
You got the chance to do so.
That's going to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you.
All right. Thank you, Highway to Health fans. Peace out.
Phoenix Ferrari, folks. Excited for the adventures he's about to embark on, and I'm proud of the thoughtful young man he's becoming. If you're a parent listening in, I'd love to hear what you thought of what we covered here. And if you're a teen tuning into this one, please reach out and share your insights from this past year and how the transition back to the new normal is going for you. You can reach out to me through the contact page at highway2.health. That's highway2.health. And I'll be sure to share any responses that you'd like me to share in an upcoming episode. Thanks for listening and for all that you do. Be good to yourself, be kind to each other, and take care of your planet. Be well, my friends.
If you enjoyed podcasts like this, you should check out our other shows on Health Podcast Network. For example, Better with Dr. Erica, hosted by Dr. Erica, provides support and guidance in navigating stress-related challenges to transform your relationship to self-care. Each episode arms you with the tools needed to be better, do better, and live better. There was an incredible episode that you should check out called Touch and Connections as Tools for Healing and Better Mental Health. In this episode, her guest breaks down ways to use physical touch as a form of healing for trauma and grief. Check out Better with Dr. Erica on your favorite podcast platform or visit healthpodcastnetwork.com.